Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people in support and solidarity to the new African independence movement. And once again, my name is Brother Yayra Amadi, a.k.a. Prophecy. And as always, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community as we discuss topics, as we said before, that are relevant to the struggle for liberation, for independence, for nationhood, for land, for the creation of scientific socialism, so we can begin to control our own destiny. And as always, we like to start the show out by shining the spotlight on an individual, organization, or an event that played a significant role in this struggle for independence, in our struggle for liberation. And today we want to talk about the Haitian Revolution. Now, the Haitian Revolution was actually the most successful slave rebellion in history. This revolution actually began as a slave revolt and ended with the founding of an independent state. The main insurrection started in 1791 in the valuable French colony known as Saint-Dominique. Black enslaved African people launched in organized rebellions, killing thousands of whites, burning sugar plantations en route to controlling the northern region of Saint-Dominique. This unrest continued until February 1794, when the French government officially abolished slavery in all its territories. And the famed rebel, the leader of this revolution, Toussaint Louverture, established himself as the governor of the islands. Now, in 1802, Napoleon, which was the leader of the French forces, imperial powers, tricked Toussaint Louverture and captured him. And after they captured the general, this brother, which was the leader of this revolution, the imperial forces of France began to try to reinstate enslavement over the islands, the newly independent islands. But our brothers and sisters rose up against the imperial forces, fought them viciously under the leadership of Jean-Jacques Dessalines. In 1803, they defeated French forces. In the following year, they declared their independence and established the island of the New Republic of Haiti, which was the first successful and only, you know, slave rebellion that led to an independent new country. Now, understand, after, you know, this happened, word spread to that, and it terrified European people so much that they had to make sure that this type of spirit of independence, this type of spirit of revolution, did not spread to other enslaved Africans. And they never wanted to see this happen again. So the independent state of Haiti has been punished since from that day up until this time right now by Western forces, by European forces, even by American forces, even so much so that these African people, these brothers and sisters of ours, who had defeated the system, the inhumane system of chattel slavery, to free themselves and gain their own independence, these brothers and sisters were forced to pay the French government reparations for freeing themselves. That's how global white supremacy and global capitalism and global imperialism works. But you have to understand that this revolution, the Haitian Revolution, it struck such a blow within Napoleon's French empire that this action was the reason why Louisiana is a part of the United States now, because Louisiana was at the time under French control. But because our brothers and sisters in Haiti whooped Napoleon so badly that he had to recoup his losses, so he sold Louisiana to the United States and was known as the Louisiana Purchase. But back to the original point. So today, what we want to talk about, what we want to acknowledge, we want to shine the spotlight on the first and only slave revolution carried out by enslaved African people, which led to an independent country. So we want to shine the spotlight on the Haitian Revolution, which leads us to our topic for today, because, you know, in the past week, it's becoming just a common thing. Well, it's always been a common thing, but it's become so common that it doesn't even faze many of us anymore. But there are more high profile killings of our brothers and sisters at the hands of police. Unarmed black men continue to get killed by the police, and it has sparked more protests, more outrage, some violence. So that leads us to the question. Because every time, you know, there's a protest that comes out and violence erupts within the protest, you see the same people saying the same things. Violence is never the way. Violence is never the key. Violence is never the answer. We should turn the other cheek, you know, get out and vote. That's the way that you should exercise your right and let your voice be heard. Vote and fight for reform within the system and all these type of things. But I was listening to the D.L. Hughley show. And understand, D.L. Hughley is not a part of the New African Revolution, New African Independence Movement by any form. He is a reformist. He is someone who generally speaks on, you know, we need to get out and vote, you know, vote for Hillary and blah, 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 blah. But it was interesting to me because I bring this up because on his show on this particular day, he was basically saying that, you know what, this is happening over and over and over and over and over. And I know everyone always says violence is not the way, should never turn to violence. But if we're not supposed to turn to violence, what are we supposed to do? And this was a change in the general response that people of that particular class usually put out. And I found that interesting because it looks like the masses of our people are going through a process of exhausting all remedies. And once people get to the point where all remedies have been exhausted, then we're moving closer and closer to revolution. So the question that I want to pose today, protests, are the peaceful protests the proper response to the killing of our people? Is that the solution for the murder of our people, for innocent lives being taken? Are riots the key? Is violence ever acceptable? Is violence ever a solution for the problem of our people? This is what we want to discuss, and I'll give you my two cents very quickly. When it comes to peaceful protest, people in power have no respect for a peaceful protest. In essence, what a peaceful protest is, and understand, I've been there. I've covered them through my media outlet. But what they are is an avenue in which people who are angry, people who are frustrated with the system, can release that anger in a way that is not threatening to the system. So, in fact, you know, the people who benefit from the exploitation of our people, they love a peaceful protest. when they had the protest in Memphis, you had police officers hugging the protest. In essence, a peaceful protest is definitely not the solution. It's not going to change anything. The only thing it's going to do is allow people who are angry that could potentially use that frustration in a way that could change the system. It takes that anger and it allows it to be released in a way that is non-threatening to our people. So what about riots? Are riots a real solution to the problems of our people? And the one thing I will say about riots, once we reach that stage of rioting, people in power start to take note. They start to pay attention. They start to think, okay, we might need to do something. We might need to give them a pacifier so we can shut them up because we don't want this riot to progress any farther. But see, the problem with riots is they're unorganized. They lack leadership. They're short-lived. They're not a real solution to the problems of our people. In fact, they actually bring about more problems to the people who riot because usually you get in trouble and you get under attack by the system. So it's not a real solution to your problem. It's, again, another way of releasing frustration about the system. So when I go back to the question, is violence ever a solution? See, violence becomes a solution when all of that anger, when all of that frustration, when all of that violence is organized, it is directed toward gaining specific goals that benefit your liberation. See, once you focus violence, you focus that intensity, you focus that aggression, you focus all of that revolutionary energy and direct it toward accomplishing concrete goals, that's when you begin to accomplish something. That's when you begin to see revolution. But of course, like I always say, like always, we are joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community, and I'm going to open the lines up to some of our brothers and sisters who have been patiently waiting. Do I have my brother Kakaye on the line?
Yes, free the land, brother.
Free the land, I am, I will. So, brother, what do you think? Are peaceful protests the solution to the problems of our people being murdered by these cops, by this system of racism and white supremacy? Or, you know, is violence ever a solution? So what are your thoughts on that, brother?
Well, let's define what the objective and the goal of our people are. It's basically changing the conditions in which we live in. And we have to begin to understand how you change conditions and situations that you live in. We can no longer continue in the same course of action. And some of us know the old saying, you continuously do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is a sign of insanity. Well, that's the same thing with us as a people. We continue to do the same thing over and over and over and over, expecting a different result. That's insanity. What we have to recognize is that just in natural law, there are opposing forces. There are opposites. There's there's an up and a down. There's a left and a right. There's a good and a bad. And with our condition, we have to recognize that in order to change that, we have to do something contradictory to what's going on. We have to do the opposite in order to change our conditions. And they say two wrongs don't make a right. But in essence, you have to do the complete opposite of what's happening to you in order to move ahead. And so what I mean is that if we're protesting, if we're marching, and we are not getting any results, we have to do something different. We have to recognize that if we are being attacked and we're constantly getting murdered and killed, and our warriors and our young men and our young women are being shot down unarmed, then we have to understand that in order for that to stop, it takes us to do something to stop it. And that's the bottom line. The person that the force that creates the reaction, the results of the actions of the person that is committing the crimes is the direct, is the effect. Like, if they're causing these problems, the effect of those problems is that we're going to stand up and fight and protect and defend ourselves. It's not our fault that we are in a position where this is what we have to do to change our conditions. We just have to be man and woman enough to accept the responsibility that we have to change it, and this is the course of action we need to use to change it. They caused the problem, because if they weren't doing what they were doing, nature wouldn't develop an opposite that would bring some equality, some equilibrium to these conditions. We can't continuously get done the way we're done and not retaliate. That's just common. That's just natural law. And so I don't want to get into the concepts, the complicated concepts of how to explain it. But the bottom line is that the natural result of someone being attacked is to retaliate. And we can't be ashamed that we do what we're supposed to do based on natural law. We can't sit up here and continue to live through these conditions and circumstances and think something else is going to change it. We have to change it. It's our responsibility as men and women to change our conditions by doing what's necessary for those conditions to change. And it's self-explanatory, my brother. And thank you for bringing that topic up. Free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. And I definitely want to talk to my sister, Sa'anxa. I believe I have my sister, Sa'anxa, online. I haven't heard from you in a while on the show. Sister Sa, are you there?
Yes, free the land.
Sa'anxa. Free the land. I am, I will. So what are your thoughts? Are peaceful protests the solution to, you know, the problems that we are facing with these unarmed black men, women, and children being murdered by by this police force, race system, and white supremacy? Or is violence ever a solution? So what are your thoughts, Kristen?
Well, I first want to say that none of this that we're seeing is new. This has been our state since we've been here for 500 years. As African people, so it's none of this is new. We've been being murdered and castrated, and the worst of the worst in terms of what you can think of, it has happened to us. Mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, the list goes on and on. So that being said, yes, it is natural to the natural law is self-preservation. The natural thing to do is to defend yourself, to defend ourselves. Yet, in doing so, like you said, some people, you know, want to speak out and protest. Some people want to riot. The thing we have to really realize is, and really think about is the bigger picture. The bigger picture is, okay, after that, then what? What is it that we want for our people? We want liberation. What does that look like? Well, within the Republic of New Africa, that is scientific socialism in our own land. So to defend ourselves, to retaliate, we have to organize and do this wisely so we can have a goal reached, which is liberation, which is freedom. We can't just react. We need to think wiser for future,
exactly.
For future reference, for our children's children's children, so they won't have to live through the same misery and brutality.
Exactly, sister. You brought up an excellent point, because when you talk about retaliation and you talk about violence against this system, we have to understand that our goals and objectives, we always talk about, well, you know, we want freedom, we want, you know, equality, we want all of these things, but we have to concretely define these things. Can't just say, well, we want freedom, but then people really don't know what freedom really is. And you brought up the Republic of New Africa, and us in the Republic of New Africa define freedom clearly in four concrete ways. We need land. You have to have land. Land is the foundation of freedom. You need independence. We have to have the independence to govern ourselves. We have to be independent of the system of white supremacy, of racism. We can't be dependent upon the very people who benefit from our exploitation for the very systems that govern our lives. We have to have self-government. We have to have the ability to create the systems that are going to govern our lives. We have to be able to govern ourselves. And we have to establish an economic system that is not oppressive, that is not based on exploitation, that is not based on racism, white supremacy, that is not based on classism. Because we understand that if we create the same type of economic system that we have in America, in our land, in our nation, then we're going to get the same results. So I'm with you 100%, sister. We definitely have to define our ends, define the end game, and then organize toward getting that. And I've been having my sister Ayodele, Mama Ayo, on the line for a long time now, and I definitely want to get to you. Mama Ayo, are you there?
Free the land, brother. Yes, I am.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what are your thoughts, sister?
Well, I concur with Brother Kokai and Sister Zahangsa. We have to first always put it in historical perspective, which they did very, very well. We also have to look at the premise that violence is the very nature of this system. The violence that we see permeates throughout this empire. However, there's one specific thing that we must always keep in mind. Why? The question is, why is it that this system is so heavily violent against people of African descent, Africans here in America? There's a historical reason for this. There's a historical reason to the point where every system, every law, every code of conduct, everything is designed to put us on the offensive, or I should say the defensive, because they know, and if anybody who studies history, that the very nature of our relationship has been violent from its very beginning. Violent from its very beginning, and they know historically that when we do have education, when we do begin to analyze from a different perspective, we will see that they perpetually want to keep us in this condition so that we don't rise up, hold this system accountable, and eventually tear it down. Right now, we are reacting to their violence against us. But the whole nature of this system is violent. What we do need to do, as a people, as a nation, is to begin to analyze. We've done almost everything that our parents and our grandparents have told us. Stay within the system. Make sure that you follow the law. Most people are doing that. But everything that we do is never enough. There's always something wrong. There's always a consequence. The consequence is based on the economic system under which we are in, which is capitalism, imperialism. It's based on white supremacy and racism. So we never can do anything. Like, we can just, as the brother in Colorado, stop at a traffic light because your car is messed up and you end up dead. Be on a playground playing as a child should play and get shot. Just because they see a melanated being, and immediately they're put, they're scared, and that's how this system is teaching them. They are actually, in their very nature, in their very core, afraid of melanated people, people of African descent. So anytime it just registers that they are the enemy. And because they are in positions to protect and serve the people, they don't protect and serve African people. They serve and protect the system. And the system says African people are enemies to us. They need to be killed because they are horrible, and that is the mentality. And no matter how you twist it and turn it, that's the nature of African people here in America. So what should we be doing? We should be studying, trying to tell our children to analyze, stop what we call the vertical violence against one another, and understand that we don't need to be hurting one another, harming one another. We need to be understanding that there is a system under which we are operating that is at war with us. Let's just put it just like that. We are at war with capitalism and imperialism in this country and white supremacy. And no matter how you twist and turn it, no matter how you want to integrate, how you want to move into their neighborhood, be a part of their jobs, be a part of anything, we're still at war. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. Well said, sister. And time always flies when we're doing this, and we're almost out of time. So before we run out of time, I'll give us briefly an opportunity to just give a final thoughts on this subject. And I'm going to come to my brother Kakaye. Brother Kakaye, are you still there?
Yes, free the land, brother.
Free the land. So yeah. What are your final thoughts on this?
Well, just briefly, you know, everything that we do has to be calculated, has to be clandestine, has to be in a way that we understand what's going on and what is the solution to our problem and how to carry out that solution. So when we talk about changing our platform on this protest and marching that hasn't gotten anything done for hundreds of years, and to know that if something that we try for many years over and over again, we should be sane and recognize that it's not going to have a different result. The protesting and marching has the same result. If we continue to think we're going to get something different, we're insane. We have to do what we need to do, and we have to recognize that now is the time that we do something different. And we know that what we have to do is stand up and fight for what we recognize as ours. Nobody's going to give us anything. Any revolution, the Haitian revolution, the Cuban revolution, all of them had to fight to get what they want. As long as you're not fighting, people don't even recognize that you are somebody and you are worthy of receiving anything. And that's my take on that, my brother. Free the land.
Land, I am, I will. Thank you for that, brother. I'm coming to you, Sister Salma Ott. Any final thoughts on this subject? Sister Salma.
Yes.
So,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Do you have any thoughts, final thoughts on this subject?
Well, my final thoughts would most definitely be just we have to look at the overall bigger picture in terms of our goals and objectives. We have to organize within those goals and objectives. And that's just that on that. Like, if we want freedom, okay. Like you said, what does that look like? We got to start right there. And within the Republic of New Africa, I mean, the platform has already been set up for us. All we need is the brilliant, bright minds to come together, and let's get to work.
Exactly. Well said, well said. Sister, thank you. Thank you, and it's good, good. Back on this. From my sister.
I don't know if you can hear me through the land, brother. You're having some trouble. But my last thoughts would be to concur with my brother and sister. We just need to understand the nature of the system in which we are in. our historical duty that we must make sure that our children's children have lives are better. Yes, we are no longer in chains physically, but economically, everything that we need, food, clothing, shelter, water, we are bound and locked in because we do not have any independence in those areas. We don't produce anything. And that's one of the basic tenets that the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey said, we must build our own. We must have our own factories. We must have land. We must have independence. What does that look like? First of all, you need to start with self. Start with understanding, who am I in relationship to this this system? What is the relationship with African people with this system? We have a different way. We have a different belief system. We have a different culture. That culture obviously is at battles with the culture, with the subculture here in America. It is definitely different. We are thought of as being different, living different, and it's all because we were conquered people, and as a conquered people, we have risen. They have risen up into an empire off of our slave labor for 400 years. And based on that, they know historically that they have wronged the people, they have aggressed upon the people, and they surely know that they need to pay. And because they know this, they are inherently violent against the very people who not only nursed their mothers and fathers and grandfathers and great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers while they raped and pillaged everything from our culture. They know inherently that they must pay us, they must compensate us, and they are unwilling to do so. So how do they react psychologically? They are fearful, and they are reacting as such. So we need to understand and to microanalyze their particular culture and come within ourselves and be able to unite, utilize principles of the Nguza Saba, understand that our flag is the red, black, and green, one God, one aim, one destiny. We have a land. We have 5 states in the South, and people need to understand that the whole even education of our children while we're sitting in the homes, talking and having our conversations, looking at our neighbors, looking at people who look like us, and understand that we have a common history and we are not the enemies of each other. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. And briefly, I will say this on the subject. Many times when we talk about fighting back against this system of racism and white supremacy, people come back into of this system and say, well, two wrongs are never right. Violence is never the way. We need to peacefully protest. We need to find a resolution in a peaceful way. But the reality is, the people who even spread that type of ideology don't believe it themselves. This type of thinking only applies to black people striking out against this system of racism, white supremacy. Everywhere else in nature, it does not apply. People who say this don't even believe it themselves. I'll give you an example. If you see you're out in the public, or you're out at an event, or out anywhere, and you see someone from the military dressed in uniform, straight back from Afghanistan, from fighting, and people are talking about, well, you shouldn't, you know, fight back against the system. You shouldn't, you know, violence is not the answer. They will immediately see this individual and they will say, thank you for your service. We appreciate everything you do. We love you so much forever. You give you all kind of praise and respect to this brother or sister who just went out fighting in a war in Afghanistan. Even though these people are the most superiorly trained, the most advanced, have the most advanced weapons, the most efficient killing machines in the world. And they're going out to commit violence against other nations, not to secure freedom, not to spread democracy, but they're going in order to secure the resources for major U.S. corporations. And they're killing people. Children are dying, but yet we praise that. We uplift that. We respect that. But when it comes to our people defending ourselves against this system of racism and white supremacy, we have a tendency to step back and say, no, that's not right, it's wrong, and all of that type of stuff. This is only the result of a conditioning that we receive because we have been conditioned by the people who benefit from our exploitation. This type of thinking is sick. This type of thinking is incorrect. And I will end with this: the system of racism and white supremacy. Well, before I say that, there are basically two forms of violence: the type of violence that one oppresses a people, and the type of violence that liberates a people. And the system of racism and white supremacy responds to two things. And they only respond to two things. One, the loss of finances. And the second one is the loss of life. And if we really want to defeat this system of white supremacy, we have to be prepared to take both of them. My name is Brother J. Rob Monty, a.k.a. Prophecy. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I want to apologize for my sister, Freya. I don't have that song you wanted to hear loaded, so I'm not going to be able to play it. Or maybe I'll try. But join us next week, as always, as we discuss topics that are significant to the liberation of new African people and the new African independence movement. Brothers and sisters, read the name.
Darkness no longer, a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby crept his lung. But daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting cats on his knee. Another victim born out here in the hood, and based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the path, and daddy can't find it, and it can't be seen. The family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey. Serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change. It's a brand new day.
A brand new day.
It's a new day.
A day
new day.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
A brand new day.
It's a new day. It's a new day.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.